What is up, guys? My name is Jordan, and I know I said last episode was our last episode, but this is a bonus episode, bro. I have one of the best athletes in the United States of America joining us for the podcast of Brotherly Love. He's my new brother, and his name is Dylan. Go ahead and introduce yourself, man.
Hello, my name is Dylan Berger. I just graduated from Creekview High School.
Come on, Creekview.
And I am headed to Kennesaw State University on a running scholarship for cross country and track.
Hootie hoo! So they're probably wondering, like how is he one of the best athletes in America? We will get to that, okay? Y'all gotta stay tuned. And shout out to my boy in the back, Nate. Nate, you wanna say what's up?
What's up?
So this is our first ever episode with a live studio audience. So this is incredible. We got Nate behind. We are filming this or recording this from Dylan's fresh new car, and he owns it outright, y'all. And this is a Mustang, no?
Yes.
Yeah, we're in a Mustang. Y'all heard it, Rev. You know what time it is. This is incredible. So like I said, so if you're new to the show, here's the story that brought this show real quick. So it was right before COVID. My brother and I, or maybe at the beginning of COVID, my brother and I, my little brother, he was going to go off to college, and I was getting married, so I was going to leave the house. And so we made this podcast because we were kind of growing distant, and we needed something to, you know, bring us back. So we made a podcast just talking and yelling about sports, and it's kind of evolved to this podcast to where I just talk to really cool people like Dylan. And we're going to get some of his story today. Hopefully we can get all of it. And maybe you'll learn something today or learn something about yourself or maybe get some motivation today. So I'm super excited. But Dylan, yeah, man. So we were all born. So that's the easiest part of the story. If you want to take it from there, kind of like your childhood, what was it like growing up, bro?
So my childhood was very on and off. To me, I thought it was very normal. Just constantly moving from home to home, motel to motel.
Yeah.
To be honest, and I thought that was completely normal. I always like stayed together with my siblings, Waylon and Melody, and you know, we always played the childhood games like tag,
yeah,
hide and seek and all of that. And it got really rough at certain points. And I just started wondering myself, like, why is my life like this?
Yeah.
And I just never thought I would, like, honestly, my life would never get better, to be honest with you. And, yeah, my childhood is very crazy.
Yeah, very crazy childhood, bro. Yeah, man, so, like, I honestly had probably, like, a really almost, like, perfect childhood, to be honest, bro. In the sense that, like, you know, I had my mom and my dad at home, and so I was kind of privileged, and I thought that's how everybody was. You know, as a kid, like, you just think, like, whatever you have is normal, you know? And my parents are from a Haitian household. So we had a lot of, like, little customs and stuff that my friends didn't have, you know? And so it's really interesting hearing how you went from motel to motel, and you thought it would never get better. When did it start to change for you?
So it started to change when I went into foster care. And, you know, being raised, my parents or my mom, I never really saw my dad. I wouldn't recognize him to this day.
Wow.
But my mom would, like, you know, put into my mind that foster care defects are terrible people.
Wow.
They just want to take you away from their parents and stuff like that. And so they fed me, like they fed that into my, like, my mind. So I believed it.
Yeah.
And, you know, we went into defects, foster care, and they actually helped us by, like, so much. You know, put us on the right path, like grades, athletically, like financially.
Yeah.
Gave us a home, like fed us. And yeah, so they put us on the right path. And I started out playing football and basketball. And I realized, okay, I'm pretty athletic. So, you know, time went on. Then we went back with my mom. She got like her rights back to get us back.
Yeah.
And she finessed her way around the system to where like, she really didn't have a house, but she lied to them and said she did.
Wow.
So we went back with her, and 2 weeks later, we went back straight into defects because she didn't have a house and we were living in the woods.
That's wild.
So at that point, I was tired of, like, you know, tired of everything. I wanted to go back into defects. They were treating us right, you know, like a family. So then I started running. After, like, so the cross country track coach came up to me and said, hey, you could be a really good runner. You need to come out for the summer and start training. So I started training, but, you know, day by day. And I saw a lot of potential in myself, and so did, like, all my other teammates. And, yeah, so never looked back. I started just running every day. And just looking up to the older kids, like Seth White, all D1 runners now.
Wow.
And, they didn't really inspire me. So I was like, I want to be like them. So I started running more, harder and harder. And over the years, I just saw all the potential. Just, like, it finally starting to click. Like, okay, I'm getting an offer. And then, you know, junior year, got a couple offers. Senior year, just bang, bang, bang. Like, 27-plus offers just rolling in. So I was like, okay. So my life is turning around.
Yeah.
And I got a really good scholarship, covered, you know, all of my college tuition, books, rooming, board, all of that. I was okay. So, you know, many blessings are coming in.
Yeah.
Thank the Lord, you know. Definitely praise Him for that.
Come on.
And so, yeah, now I'm just running 70 miles a week.
Wow.
Just trying to, you know, yeah, stay in shape.
Go to college. 70 miles a week, bro. I can barely get my car to 70 miles per hour. That's the closest I get to the word. That's the closest I get to 70, bro. As he looks to the back of Nate. If your mom or dad are listening, Dylan stays on the speed limit as far as I know. So, praise God. Speaking of mom and dad, if you want to talk a little bit about kind of when you met those amazing people that you live with now,
yes,
right?
Yes, yeah. So, 8th grade, I was in foster care up in Jasper. That's why I went to Pickens High School and Pickens Middle. So, going into freshman year, that's when I started running.
Okay.
And we ended up going to this church camp up in Tennessee. And my now dad, foster dad.
Yeah.
He was one of the, like, group leaders for the church. And he was just like, we were playing Ultimate Frisbee in the field.
Okay, Ultimate Frisbee.
And he saw my sister sitting on the wall. And he was like, okay, I want to go talk to that. You know, I want to go talk to that girl over there. And so we started talking to her and, like, catching up, like, with her and stuff, like her life and stuff. And he just really, like, God was telling him, like, okay, I need to learn more about these kids.
Yeah.
So the next day we played basketball in the rec center at that little church group and their little camp.
Yeah.
And he just started, like, telling me about, like, his life and asking about mine and stuff. And he was, like, completely shocked by my life and just stuff like that, the way we lived. And so, you know, we went back to our little Jasper, you know, our little county, our little school. And the phone rang and they said, someone's here to, like, call you. You have a phone call. And I was like, okay, I wonder who's calling me.
Yeah.
At that time, you only got 15 minutes a day. It was just the rules. And
oh, wow.
So I picked up the phone and it's Trent calling. He's like, hey, buddy, you remember me and stuff like that. And I was, like, completely, like, flabbergasted. You know, I was smiling.
Yeah.
You know, smile from cheekbone to cheekbone.
Jesus.
And he's like, hey, I'm coming up next weekend. We can go play basketball at the rec center up in Jasper. Stuff like that. So ever since then, we started playing basketball. And then probably 2 months later, we eventually started staying with him overnight. Just the weekends, not, like, officially moved in. But
yeah.
He'd take me to my races in the morning, stuff like that. And I'll tell you now, like, still to this day, I've never heard someone yell so loud.
Wow.
At my races. I can hear him from a mile away, but
that's awesome.
Yeah, so we started staying with him over, like, the weekends, like, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and he'd bring us back and then repeat. So as that went on for, you know, for probably about a month and a half, 2 months, we had moved in with him. And at this time, we still weren't, like, adopted or anything. They were just fostering us. So we're staying with them, and we were at church on Wednesday night at Revolution, and he sat us down on the back of his truck and said, how would y'all like to, like for us to adopt y'all, like, live with us completely.
That's
and we just all started, me and my sister started bawling. My brother wasn't around, but
yeah.
We just started bawling, and Yeah, so then we moved in with them, and going into sophomore, junior, senior year, I moved to Creekview, which is now like in Macedonia, Canton area. And sophomore year was a little rough, you know, new to the school, not really knew anyone. And junior year, senior year, it was a blast. Met Nate.
Come on, shout out Nate.
Shout out Nate George.
Come on, shout out Nate George.
But yeah, I met them and started meeting more people as I like did track and cross country. That's the team basically. And there were some crazy good runners there too that I looked up to, like Bryson Gaze. He now runs at Yale.
Whoa.
And some big runners, and I was like, okay, this is like a totally different level of running, like compared to Pickens. So, but yeah, I moved in with them. They provided all my needs and stuff like that, like cross country spikes, like
let's go,
all that stuff that I needed for running, and just basically all the basic needs of living.
Yeah.
So, yeah, moved in with them. Probably officially got adopted sophomore year. So yeah,
that's incredible. Wow. Man, when I think back to sophomore year, bro, I think sophomore year was rough for a lot of us. I think definitely freshman year. Yeah. I think freshman year I probably had like a 1.8 GPA or something crazy like that. And that's when they realized I had ADHD, and then they put me on some medicine and got a little bit better, but not much. But it's like, so to do that at sophomore year, I don't know how deep you want to go into some of the trials and tribulations of that transition. But if you want to share a little bit, that'd be awesome.
Yes, of course. So sophomore year was also during COVID, COVID time, 2020. So,
wow.
You know, everything was like, it was like on and off, like hybrid, going in person. Like, just, it was weird. So I was in like a new school, new people, a whole new system of like learning. Like,
right.
Everyone was in like, confused. One point I had like an 18 in one of my classes. And I was like, what is this? And eventually, brought it up to a B, but
let's go.
Yeah, just not really knowing anyone really just like affected my year. Just like, I was very kind of I was very shy.
Yeah,
sophomore year, just not knowing anyone. And thank goodness I ran cross country and track, because those folks introduced themselves and talked to me throughout the year and just made me feel more of like a welcoming,
yeah.
So yeah, that was basically my sophomore year going into Creekview High School. So
yeah, man, I didn't even think about that, bro. Like, your first year at a new school. Yeah, I'm sorry, it's hot. It's hot in here. I had him turn off the car, so we can just speak and listen to the bugs. But yeah, Dylan Berger is a trooper. That's all y'all gotta know, man. And shout out Nate too. It's probably like a sauna back there. But we're cooking up this fire content for you. So this is really, really exciting. And you know what's crazy? That your foster dad created that relationship while y'all were playing basketball. Because that's exactly the same way you and I met.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you want to tell a story, if you want me to tell a story.
Yeah, you got it. Go ahead.
Yeah?
Go for it.
Uh-oh, because you might not like the way I tell a story, Dylan. Okay, so I meet Dylan playing basketball, and I'm just like, who is this tall kid wetting threes and like, dribbling over everybody? And I'm like, okay, I want to guard him. So we play at Woodstock Baptist. We're playing. It was later. It was a weeknight.
Yeah.
And I was playing like the best defense of my life. You want to tell him about the defense, bro?
I couldn't do any move without him stealing the ball. And I remember eventually asking him after the game, how do you know what I'm going to do? And he said, I just second guess it in my mind. And I'm just trying to predict where you're going next.
Yeah.
And he said, the best thing to prevent that is just don't think about the move you're doing next. And I still couldn't get past him.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's funny because like you had a lot of moves, and I was watching you the game before and you were cooking them. You cooked everybody, bro. And I just knew like I grew up like really small. So playing with my cousins, the only way I would ever get the ball, it was never by a rebound. I had to steal it. So that's where I learned that. And so it's just amazing to see the parallels, to see the relationships that basketball has brought into your life. Because after that, bro, you and I stayed connected. That was probably maybe a year or two ago at this point. You were like maybe into junior or your senior year of high school. And we've had like deep conversations. Like I remember like crying at midnight, like late night, bro. like just on the phone crying. And I think we were both in tears. We're crying. We're praying. So like it's been really great seeing you grow into a man and just being your friend. So thank you so much for being my friend, Dylan Berger.
Of course, yeah. Thank you for everything, for all.
And now tonight we went to this amazing devotion. But I don't want to take it off track. But going back to your relationship with your foster parents, man. I mean, when you look at yourself as a runner, how do you feel like having this family backing you up has helped you propel you to who you are?
Absolutely. So looking back, I never had it like any family like, you know, inspiring me to tell me to go faster.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that is actually a point in my life or something. But moved in with them, Trent, Jessica Anderson, and you know, he yells the loudest. He's always like, go faster, go faster. My mom's, you know, always recording.
Yeah.
And just knowing that I have them like on my side, like against me, like, you know, or with me.
Yeah.
Just, it just, I don't know, helps me. It just propels me forward. And I just know, like, there's nothing to lose. You give it my all. Like, yeah, just.
That's incredible, man. And I mean, the Bible talks a lot about, you know, honoring your mother and your father. And I think you do a really great job doing that, bro. Even though they're not like your birth mother or father, but they are the two people that God has put into your life. And I'm just so inspired by them, by their example. I'm inspired by you. Because you're such a example of like when life gives you lemons, like make apple juice, like,
yeah.
Like, bro, what you've done, man, in life is nothing short of amazing. And you've had amazing people backing you up. And, at the beginning of the episode, I teased that you're one of the best athletes in America. Are we able to talk about that?
Yeah, sure. Let's go for it.
So you had texted me some really fire news like maybe a year and a half ago when you got on this team, I think. So if you want to tell them what I've been teasing and kind of the level at which that you're running.
All right. So I do triathlons as well on top of cross country and track.
Yeah.
And I started up with a triathlon sophomore year, like the summer.
Okay.
And my Aunt Taryn signed me up for it. And I was like, you
know. Your aunt?
Yes, my aunt.
Oh, that's wild. Shout out Aunt Taryn.
Yes. And I never swam and biked. I always ran. So she's like, you should be really good at this. So I'm always down for some physical activity.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what it is. Hiking, I'll go for it. But she signed me up and she let me borrow it, like her bike and stuff. And I was like, okay, I'm down to do this. Let's do it. So yeah, I did a triathlon and it was probably the most fun I've ever had, like in a race.
Really?
Yes. And cause it's just three different sports and like combined into one.
Yeah.
So swim, I got cooked. The biking, I caught up a little bit. And then the running, I can't even tell you how much people I passed.
Wow.
But so I was like, okay, that was very fun. And I remember in the race, as I was passing these people, like the people on the sidelines were yelling, don't let that kid pass you. Don't let that little kid pass you.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just like looked at him, like grinned and just took off. Like,
take
just,
off,
went,
baby.
Went off faster. So then months went by, you know, not thinking anything of it. And then I qualified for the U.S. like nationals team or something.
Wow.
And I posted on my Strava and like stuff like that. And I was just like, you know, like blown away. Like, oh my gosh, I just qualified for this USA national race and stuff like that. And unfortunately, I didn't get to like, you know, race it because it was up in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
It was too far with school and all that and just stuff like that. But yeah, so I qualified for the USA like national team and stuff like that for my age group, not just in like overall, but for my age group. So yeah.
That's incredible. Yeah. So I've been teasing the whole time, but yeah. He qualified for the USA national race for the triathlons. No.
Yes.
Something that you really haven't done that long. That's absolutely incredible, man. Because I've been playing basketball since I was 5 years old, and I barely made the freshman team. Barely. I never even played JVs. I've been doing it my whole life, bro. And like I don't have much to show for it. But like as sophomore year, your aunt put you onto a sport, and you just like took it to a very high level. So that's really incredible. What was your training regimen like, bro, to get you from day one to qualifying for the U.S.?
So starting out, I was probably running. This is sophomore year. Keep in mind, I was a lot shorter. I was probably 5'10", 5'11", compared to now, which I'm 6'2", almost 6'3". I was probably running about 35 miles a week. Swimming, biking, like, I didn't do any of that. I just ran. So, that's all I did. I ran 35 miles a week and then qualified for the race, the USA National. And I was like, okay. That gave me motivation, like, sparks, like, personal growth. Period of personal growth. And I was like, okay, so I gotta set this up now. Like, it's getting to this level where I gotta like grind. This is like grind time. So yeah. Started focusing, and that's when I started stepping it up. Going into junior year, I remember looking at the leaderboard on Strava. I was running like 50 miles a week, then increased to 55, 65, 70. I think I topped it out like 70, 75, and then dropped it back down. But yeah, so that was really just my, I basically just ran. I probably swam a few times every month and then basically just ran. Biking, I'd bike like occasionally with my friends, like mountain biking, just for the fun of it. But yeah, I'd really just run.
Wow. So yeah, you're basically your strength. You just kept it your strength.
Yes.
Yeah. So tell me more about Strava. I have no idea. So for anybody that doesn't know what Strava is, like me.
Yeah, so Strava is, it's like a running app. It has like biking. It tracks you, basically it tracks your mileage, your pace, and your time. And you can track a bunch of different things like kayaking, biking, swimming, running. It doesn't matter, treadmill, and just all of that. It's basically just a running app. It just tracks your mileage and your heart rate and all of that stuff.
Cool. Yeah. Well, so now you are, now we're going to kind of close it out with kind of the sports section, and then we're going to end it off with some fun questions. When you look at your life now, bro, you have a scholarship at Kennesaw State, right?
Yes.
You're about to run for KSU. You stayed home. So tell me what went into that, decision, and where you see your running career going after this.
All right, so honestly, my senior year, I was injured the entire cross-country season, and I almost quit. Wow. Not many people know that I almost quit due to the – sorry if the team hears this, but they weren't very supportive. They would, you know, make fun of me for my hamstrings. I strained both of my hamstrings, whoa, like, multiple times, and they would just make remarks and basically, like, mocking me as I'd be like, oh, my hamstring's hurting. Like, I can't finish this workout. But they basically just, like, mock me and just make remarks. And so I was like, I'm fed up with this, you know. Like, I don't want to put up with this anymore. So I went home. And running, I love running. Like, I love the sport. I love, like, you know, just running with my teammates and stuff. But at that point, I did not. Like, they weren't being very supportive. So I went home to my parents. And
wow,
I bawled my eyes out. I was like, I don't like the sport anymore.
Wow.
My teammates aren't very supportive. Like, I'm getting tired of everyone's, like, giving their crap to me.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Wow.
They said, if this is like the truly, like, if this is a, if this is truly what you want to do, then we're like here to support you. But think about all the hard work you've put in to lead up to this point with all the scholarships and stuff. And that really just like, you know what? Made me think, I was like, you know what? I'm gonna use that as motivation.
Yeah.
Them making remarks and stuff towards me, I'm gonna use that as motivation. So going into track season, I got healthy. I went to physical therapy, which is like $350 an hour. It was insane. Whoa. Shout out to my parents for paying for that.
Shout out.
So that's, I went to a bunch of physical therapy, dry needling, all of that stuff. And I got healthy. And the time trial of still like, you know, getting better. Got beat by one of my old teammates. And everyone's like, oh, he's still faster than you. And I was like, you know, in my head, I was like, he's not faster than me. Like, I know I'm stronger and faster. I'm older. First race come by, like, first race is here. And I just cooked. You know, let him cook. I just cooked the, like, competition. I think I placed second, but still, like, it was good for me, like, getting back into it.
Right.
And there's a picture in the yearbook of me, like, yeah, like, yelling. That's crazy. My mouth open, like, flexing.
Let's go.
Basically just showing me, like, or showing everyone that I'm back and, like...
Back!
Yeah, so that's basically what, like, yeah.
Wow. I bet there were no more jokes at that point.
No, there wasn't any more jokes.
Yeah, the joke stopped. A lot of times, I think we see all throughout the Bible, bro, with persecution, man.
Yes.
Like, you know that you have something special when people start coming at you, when people start talking about you. So that's, yeah, you took those haters and made them your motivators, which we've heard that, but to see you really do it, like, people talk about it all the time, and they tweet it, it's in their IG bios, but, like, what are you really doing about it? So, like, how about, like, after college, like, where do you see, like, do you, is there running after college?
Yes.
Like, talk to me.
So, I also want to talk about my decision on Kennesaw, why I chose Kennesaw, stuff like that. So, I had over, I think, 11 other D1 offers.
Okay.
Somewhere around there. Like 27 plus, I'm telling you. Like, just a bunch of different, like, divisions and stuff. But Kennesaw, it took a lot of emailing back and forth with Coach Bray. Like, a lot for him to, respond to me. But I knew a bunch of kids on the team, like Grant, Joseph, Joe a little bit. I'd see him race and stuff. And I was like, okay. Like, I know these kids, or I've seen them race, and they seem very fast, and, like, they seem nice. So I went to one of their home meets, and I talked to them afterwards, and I was like, okay, these kids are, not only fast, but, like, insanely nice, like, respectful, just, like, encouraging. And I was like, I need to be around these kids.
Yeah.
Well, they're not kids, like, these adults. Yeah, I need to be around these, like, to really encourage me and make me faster and better as a person. So I was like, okay. I'm going to Kennesaw. I'm going to Kennesaw. And
that's awesome.
So Coach Bray emailed me back, and we just started talking, and I made my commitment to Kennesaw State University. So I was like, let's go. So
that's incredible.
That was my main goal. And yeah.
Wow. It's incredible to see, like, when you were at Creekview and you got injured, bro, like, the role that your teammates played, bro. Like, you almost quit the sport.
Yeah.
And, like, it's amazing that, like, you saw great teammates at KSU, and that's what helped solidify your decision. So, like, if you're out there and you want to be on a great team, you want to have great people on your team, like, the lesson that I'm learning from Dylan right now is, like, be a great teammate. Be a great teammate, and you're going to attract the people that you want to be around. That's amazing. And I loved what your parents said about, like, okay, like, if you really want to quit, you can do it. We're going to support you. But just remember all the work you put in. So I believe that's another lesson for somebody. There's somebody out there maybe that wants to quit something that you're really passionate about, but you've had a rough time recently. Learn it from Dylan and his parents. Like, the work that you put in, like, you really have to count the cost if you really want to leave that behind. So, after KSU, bro, I know, like, we can't tell the future, but, like,
yes.
What's the future hold for Dylan Berger?
So, honestly, I'd love to, after Kennesaw State, get my degree.
Let's go.
I'd love to, honestly, go into coaching. Thought about, honestly, I'd probably not run as much. I'd probably go into more of, like, Ironman, marathon, like, occasionally, but mainly, like, Ironman and stuff like that, biking.
Yeah.
Try something else. And probably basketball as well, because I'm not allowed to play basketball in college.
Oh, wow.
Due to injuries and stuff, like, I just can't. So I'll probably go into that. I want to be a Peloton instructor on the side.
Oh, that's sick.
It'd be so cool just leading a class and just, yeah, that'd be motivating people.
Yeah.
So, but my goal right now is going to business administration, stuff like that, business management. And, yeah, just get a degree in that. Going to, yeah, no telling right now, but
yeah.
Get a degree and get a job.
Yeah. No, a lot changes when you're in college, bro.
Yes.
A lot changes. I've been in school, but out of school. Now I'm back in school, working full time. So, yeah, you never know what the future holds.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, I mean, this was incredible. Are we missing anything on your sports story or your life that you wanted to share, bro?
That's it, basically.
That's the story, and he's sticking to it. Man, I am so encouraged by your life, so encouraged by your story. And you're definitely my favorite runner. You're the only runner I know. So you are my favorite,
Thank
Dylan.
You. Thank
you're
you.
My guy. So I'm going to ask you a couple of questions that we did not prepare. I didn't prepare these questions. They're coming off the dome. But we're just going to end it on a fun note, bro. If you can eat anything for the rest of your life, in one meal, what would it be, bro?
I'm going to have to go with hibachi.
Hibachi.
Like a meal, like a hibachi meal, yes.
Like you want them throwing the egg in your mouth. And
yeah.
Throw it, whatever in your
the
mouth.
The yum yum sauce. The yum yum fried sauce. Rice. Yeah,
gotta have it, bro.
That's solid.
Gotta have it. Dude, that's good, bro. For me, it'd probably be peanut butter.
Peanut butter?
Yeah, bro. Just straight out the top. I'd like peanut butter, like, kind of with other stuff. Like, yes. Peanut butter or trail mix.
Oh, trail mix is good.
Bro, I'd be good. Like, the indulgent trail mix, I'd be good. And if you could listen to any... So, you have one song. There's only one song you can listen to for the rest of your life. Every time you turn on music. What would it be, bro?
It would be God of Revival.
God of Revival?
God of Revival. I heard it at Michigan this year, and I was like, wow, this song is so good. I instantly added this to my Spotify playlist. Yeah, I just love the song.
Wow. I can't think of the exact song, but it'd definitely be by Alex Jean. You know, he's a Christian rapper. Yeah.
Heard of him.
Yeah, so I mean, I'll have to send you some of the stuff. But yeah, any of his songs, honestly, I could probably listen to on repeat. One thing I noticed is like a lot of rappers, Christian rappers, they rap, but some of their doctrine, it sounds, you know, it doesn't really sound really true. But like, I think he really preaches the word, at least from his raps. So moving on, bro. You are on a deserted island. We've heard this question 1,000 times. You are on a deserted island, and you can only bring one thing. What are you bringing?
I would probably bring my dad, to be honest.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, a dad or a Bible. You can never get old with the Bible. There's so many different stories. You can never, like, you know.
Yeah, bro, that's good.
Yeah, you never finish the Bible. You can just always study it. But probably my dad, I would probably get very, like, what do I do, like, right here? Like, how do I build, you know, how do I build this? And how do I catch fish and stuff? I would probably bring incredible. My dad. He probably knows how to do all that.
Wow. Yeah, the Bible's a really good one. I'd probably bring a soccer ball. I just love soccer. I just love soccer, bro. I'd be juggling. I'd just play soccer all day. I make like, little goals. That'd be fun. I'd die. I would definitely die quick, but I'd have a good time.
Yeah.
I'd have a good time. And last but not least, your favorite cereal?
Fruity Pebbles.
Fruity Pebbles?
Fruity Pebbles.
Oh, I hate Fruity Pebbles. Oh, my gosh. Okay, I'm going to go Reese's Puffs.
Okay, that was my second choice.
Really?
Second choice, yeah.
Yeah, okay. I like Fruit Loops better than I like Fruity Pebbles, but I can't hate on you. The coolest thing about the Fruity Pebbles is, I think, is that the one where, like, you pour the milk and you can hear it crisp? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, you hear it, like, kind of popping. Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of cool. But, yeah, man, this has been an amazing episode. A totally fire episode, man. I hope you enjoyed it.
Yeah, thanks so much for letting me be on this podcast.
Absolutely, man. This is incredible. This is going to be the last episode ever, bro. We saved the best for last.
Grand finale.
Nate, how you feeling?
Pretty good. It's hot back here, but, you know, I like to hear Dylan's story and get to know more about him. Even though, like, we're best friends, I love him, but, you know, get to learn more.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, it's hot, but could we just cranked out a fire episode? So thank you. I love you so much. Thank you for listening to Dylan's story. Thank you for tapping into the podcast, for listening to the podcast. This is it, y'all. You can follow Dylan. Dylan finally has an Instagram.
Yes.
So you can follow Instagram, Dylan's Instagram.
Dylan, D-I-L-L-O-N, _ Berger, B-E-R-G-E-R.
Let's go.
I believe. Dylan Berger 1.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right.
I think Nate's fact-checking. Are you fact-checking?
Yeah, fact-check that.
Okay. All right, so we're going to get on that. And you can follow me on Instagram at Jomo87. I post a lot of Christian content, like Christian comedy. Okay, it's Dylan's is Dylan _ Berger 1. Dylan _ Berger 1. And as I was saying, my Instagram is Jomo87. And then But if you want to see where my content comes from, it really comes from TikTok. And my TikTok is at, I think it's Jordan underscore, no, Monty the Disciple. Just look up Monty the Disciple at Monty.V.Disciple on TikTok. If you want to see some of my, if you want to see just a man repenting and loving God and making mistakes and then repenting, loving God and having a fun time. And so I'm just so excited for Dylan's life, and I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for listening. We love you.
Peace.